We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
The sound of the final buzzer means it's hangover time. So grab a drink and join your host, Alphonse Sidney, for a Miami Heat Beat post-game show.
Heat win! Heat win! Bam Adebayo. What is up? Jimmy, call me soft again. Call me soft again, Jimmy. Brass, go ahead, play that real quick. I got to see that again. There you go. There you go. Old man Jeff Green. That motherfucker, man. I'm doing it again. Bam. God damn it, Bam. I was even shitting on my man at the end of the fourth quarter. Two turnovers that led to 6 points. He came back. On the defensive end, high game, isolated against Kyrie. Finally, a great switch, because when you're switching Ariza and Bam and the big is Jeff Green, fantastic switch. Bam on Kyrie, forces him into a step back three. I mean, air ball, goes down the floor, minimum little time left, takes it down to the fucking buzzer, completely in control, and just, I mean, classic Miami Heat moment. We are going to remember that shot for a long time. The night, you know, 2 days after Jimmy Butler calls Bam Adebayo and his teammates soft, Bam Adebayo answers the bell, and that's the shit we love to see. Go ahead, bring me out, Brass. We're going to talk about tonight's game. I put a stat scroll at the bottom of the screen. Fuck stats tonight. Fuck plus minus. Fuck everything. Bam Adebayo, 21 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists. Fuck the turnovers. He was doing a lot. All right. Listen, he was doing a lot. He deserved a break. So once again, I'm Alphonse Sidney, aka Alf 954. Damn, I'm all fucked up. I was out here and my little fucking man came screaming. My dog got scared. I'm all fucked up. Then they fucking Richard Jefferson tried Broward County. You know what I'm saying? So I'm ready to fucking go. 954 is where I'm from, baby. Let's go. So anyway, Brass, let's find out what everyone's drinking. Once again, I'm out 568. I'm fucked up. I'm having this amazing, just an amazing fun game. One of the most fun games of the season. Siobhan, what are you drinking to celebrate Bam's coming out party? On national TV, no less. He loves national TV.
National TV, fantastic for him. We got some Mondavi Sauvignon Blanc here. And over here, we have a Hennessy VSOP Culotta.
P-S-O-P.
So that's where we're at.
Nice.
You got old man energy. P-S-O-P.
Siobhan said brunch don't end at 1 o'clock. We going full all day. I'm back to I got Kettle One and Sprite, nothing fancy. Tiff, you are in the car, so you're not drinking, right?
You better not be drinking.
All right, so listen,
that's a Twitch violation. That's a Twitch violation. Be careful.
Look at here, look at here, look at here. So was watching the game, got to the house, everybody got out. I am parked. You do not hear the engine. This is my yard. This is my properties. My name is on the shit.
The keys are in the house.
The keys are in the house.
Okay.
This is my shit.
You don't have access to the keys. All right, we're just making sure.
I don't have no access to the keys. If I ain't got no hands. So I don't even know what you're talking about.
They shoot motherfuckers. That's why we asking. I know.
But while I'm on my property, hopefully, look around.
There we go, a little Bud Light. All right.
A little Bud Light.
All right, listen.
I hope Twitch got the whole context of that.
Brass, what are you drinking?
Well, I wasn't sure if we were going to win this, obviously, for obvious reasons. So I decided to make a drink that kind of put me in my happy place, but it turns out I didn't really need this drink because Bam put me in my happy place, but I did make a Mr. Bali High drink.
Damn. You can't have
that. Rum, pineapple juice, lime juice. It's a coffee liqueur.
I mean, I know it's called really Mr., good. But that drink got me wanting to say, hey, girl.
Hey. No, hey. This, I'm telling you, these tiki drinks will fuck you up. These are no joke.
You can't have that in the car. I don't care if you have the keys around you or not.
Right. It's water.
It's what?
You get a DUI just off grip. Just ain't even gonna test your blood, nothing.
Is that a straw and a pineapple? Come here, sir, please.
They gonna show a picture of the judge. The judge gonna say, guilty. G, what are you drinking?
So I'm nursing a bitch of a hangover. I'm having an Alka-Seltzer. With water. I'm real. Man, let me tell you something. I struggled today. I mean, thank God Bam picked me up because God damn, it's been. Listen, I barely got to that pregame show today. Let me tell you, that was a flu game for me.
You came through, man. The pregame show was good. I had no idea you were fucked up.
I'm gonna act like I saw it. You was the shit.
Yeah, you was amazing.
Go team.
Amazing.
With them keys to the game and shit.
Right.
But he's a giant head. Let's not make it bigger. Go on.
But anyway.
Not bigger than Shamit's.
Listen. Whoa.
With Landry Shamit, that's an Aki looking motherfucker. I'm sorry.
Yo, but is it just me? Does he look like SpongeBob's friend?
Does any of SpongeBob's friends?
Bro,
yeah,
he looks like he has residence in Bikini Bottom, like for sure.
Landry Shamit don't look like he all the way right, but anyway, he was all the way right against us tonight. So I'm gonna give my man his props. Career high, season high, of course. Yes. You know, that's like how 30, we do.
27.
But let's. I don't want to talk about Landry Shamit. Nope. I honestly hope I never have to talk about Landry Shamit again.
In the Eastern Conference Finals, we will.
Yeah, in the Eastern Conference Finals, we'll revisit. The ugliness of Landry Shamit. But tonight, Siobhan, the Brooklyn Nets, they go into the game without James Harden. KD gets hurt early. I don't want to hear it because the Heat didn't have Jimmy Butler or Victor Oladipo. So to me, it was an evenly matched game. This is a game the Heat had to win. The Knicks won today. I think the Celtics won today. The Heat had to have this game, and they won this game. I don't care who was out. This is a quality ass win.
Yep, it is a quality win. It is a quality win when you, especially considering, Brooklyn's standing, given that their, stars haven't played together. So they've still been, beating people and, beating people, handily with the people that they have. It's a great win. I was in here so hyped for Bam. This is the type of performance he needed. Like you just feel, hopefully I need to see, the next game. I'm not gonna lie. I do need to see, how we look in this next game, but this is the type of performance for him where you hope, some of that monkey is off of his back, but he understands that he has the capabilities to keep it there, to do the things that, you know, that Jimmy is asking, that we're asking, that everyone sees that he's capable of doing. Other guys responded. Iggy and Trevor played well. It was a good, solid win from, you know, pretty much start to finish. Like they did the things that needed to be done. And it was, is a win to be proud of, in my opinion.
Exactly, Tiff. You're talking about a guy who got called out by the best player on his team. The fan base has been calling him out. We've been calling him out. Everybody's been calling him out. To step up like this on a national TV game, you know, in a close game, you have the defensive play of the night against Kyrie Irving, a guy who puts other we're talking about elite defensive guards in the spin cycle on a nightly basis. He had him clamped up the entire night. So the biggest defensive play on the game of the game, our center clamps up one of the most dynamic point guards we've ever seen, and then comes back and just takes and owns it. Tiff,
right.
He owned it. He didn't give it up. He wasn't dribble handoff. Nope. He wasn't setting dunking up. He owned it, and he went out there and he got it.
Well, he did what's comfortable for him, which, I mean, obviously we like to see him do more, but he got the ball. He didn't rush. He did it at his speed. He turned, he faced up, and he hit his jumper. That shot is there for him all night, every night. We've been on him hardcore, but like I say all the time, we realize the greatness that lies in him. And yeah, we want to see it going forward, but to get called out by the lead dog of your team and then to come through with the game-winning bucket, not the game-winning assist, but the game-winning bucket, that take big ones. That take big ones.
Yep.
Big ones. Brass, how loud were you yelling in your room down there? How hype were you?
That was the most exciting. We were talking last show, like, when was the last time that a win felt like a win? Yeah. You know, we've won some game. I mean, not really recently, but we have won some games this season. But there have been very few that like felt like where you fucking fist pump the air, like, fuck yeah, we did it. You know, and this coming
I
off
did
of
it,
Jimmy's,
I did it three times in the last minute with the LeBron.
Coming off of Jimmy's comments, was so this feels so good. But don't get fooled, motherfuckers. I told you last time. Enjoy this.
I'm fooled for a night.
What you can fucking do. You did it. I want to see more of it because we believe in you. We knew you could do this shit, but still, fucking chill. We still got a lot of games to win. But again, I'm not pissing on anything. Let's fucking enjoy, motherfuckers.
Let's go. I wanted to save this one for you because that wasn't the only time I fist pumped and went crazy in the last few minutes. Goran Dragic, you know, when you're down 107, 105, I believe, you get the ball. It's barely a fast break, but he puts his fucking head down and gets to the rim and gets the bucket and ties up the game.
Yep.
I was going nuts off of that shot.
Nuts, too.
Over the head. Over the head.
The Euro step from a real Euro, not that fake shit.
Not
that fake James Harden shit. Goran Dragic, plus 18. 18 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 6 for 16 from the field, 3 from 9 for 3. So the percentages could get a little better. That I don't care about. What I care about was my guy got to the rim. My guy was a point for him to do that. And I've talked about this on the pod before. Like, they don't get when he comes off a handoff, it's always pull up. It's always jump shot. It's never go to the rim. And he was attacking all night. He was drawing help because, you know, like, and you saw that a little bit in the third quarter when their offense just totally stalls out. And what they start doing is they start jacking up threes without movement. Goran was getting into the paint and kicking out to shooters when the defense was moving. There was movement from the inside to the outside. The defense had to shift and they were getting guys good looks in rhythm. I don't know if he was saving himself for this stretch run in the playoffs. If he's going to have this in the tank, if this is what, and listen, I'm all for tomorrow, don't play him. Fucking rest his ass.
Yeah.
Save him. Mm-hmm. They need him healthy. They need him right. They don't need him to be a 50% kind of scorer from the field and three. They need what they gave him tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
They need that tonight.
I'm about to put this
Jimmy
up.
And Depot to that with what Deadman gave them, which I know we're going
to
talk about.
Oh, we're about to talk about that shit.
They have stuff. They have something.
Man, tell tales.
I'm putting this. Stupid. Timothy got me off my game on that one. I'm putting this up just to trigger Brass. Look at Brass.
Did he actually tweet that?
Yeah, that's real.
Oh, wait, about Bam?
Yeah.
Everybody on the Bam wagon.
This fucking guy.
Everybody on the Bam wagon.
Alf, why are you trying to bring me down, man?
No, listen, no. How do you feel about that, Brass? I just want
Fuck off, man. Because if Bam were available, we wouldn't have a fucking another ring. Like, go fuck yourself. Like, whatever. It's a win. It's a win, man. Let's
I had to do this.
Let's enjoy. Let's enjoy.
I know your feelings on King James, so I had to put that out there. The other big story of the game, I want to talk about Goran a little bit more. I think G really hit the nail on the head. There's not a lot more to say. This is not even Goran at full strength.
Right, right.
Like I mean, Goran looked slow tonight. Still, he got you 18 points. This is why I've been advocating rest Goran. I thought Kendrick had a great game. I wish he would have played more of that fourth quarter instead of Tyler Hero, who I'm sorry, we can get into that. But before we get negative, let's talk about my man, Dead Man. Mr. Dead Man.
There we go. Let's put some respect on that.
Give it to him.
Mr. Local Mechanic with the Newport hanging off the lip and the do-rag. You know what I mean?
It's your alternator, baby.
See, and I see this, and like, why didn't he play the last game?
I think he'll be playing going forward.
Trying stuff.
Well, but what they were trying today. Last game wasn't fucking working.
Right?
Yes.
Now they know.
And like Deadman, when he played before, he was good. He's all the minutes he's played are good.
And he's size. And I want you to go into that, Siobhan. You've talked about it over and over that this team needs size.
Take what they want.
Siobhan.
Yes. So I don't care. So
G's talking about girth on the show.
I mean, hey, it all matters. Look, right. So Steph Curry has ushered in, you know, the era of the long ball shot. We've seemed to just cast away the use of any type of traditional, you know, big. And I think, you know, a little bit to some, like, it's been not the best of things, right? We've seen this team continuously get out rebounded. We've gotten out tough, out physical. And I'm not just talking about height. I'm not just talking about width. I'm not just talking about girth, length. Like, there are different, like, size comes in a bunch of different forms. And overall, we are slim in kind of all of those areas. If we're long, we're skinny. If we're, you know, had some little more girth, shout out Belly, we're slower and you know these things, so like it but he's gonna round out. I really like Belly, but no, like you said, Deadman gives us
round already.
Hey, Deadman gives us a physicality. He got a rebound one time and it was like aggressive and strong, and he got in like brought it down with like some gumption. And you know, it's good to see. It adds some energy to the ball. It adds energy to passes, to outlets, to just, you know, getting into, you know, a different type of flow. It matters. And I hope that he continues to, you know, find a way within what we do here. I think he'll be big for us. And I truthfully think Nemanja is going to be big for us.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Also, once he gets his footing and gets in a little bit better conditioning.
Some of that ball handling load.
Yep, handle it.
Crazy.
Blow by situation.
Tiff, between Bam.
By situation.
There we go. Between Bam and Deadman tonight, you had 10 offensive rebounds. The Heat had 16 offensive rebounds as a team. I don't remember the last time that's happened. I mean, they out-rebounded the Nets. Are you guys ready for this?
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
53-38. When is the last time you saw that from a Heat team?
And they won by two.
Wait, shut up.
Yeah. Don't bring us down, G. Shut up.
Listen, guess what? They won by two. So one of those offensive rebounds mattered.
Yep.
I agree.
Hell yeah.
Mattered.
I agree.
Hell yeah.
I mean, unlike some people who think rebounds don't matter.
Overrated. If I see rebound is overrated one more time.
Uh-oh, G. They're coming for your neck.
You need them.
You care to comment, G?
You need somebody to show up in slippers and overalls just to, like, work on some shit. Because guess what? We needed somebody to work on those boards today.
Dwayne Devin do look like he wear overalls with no shirt underneath.
With like a well-kept patch of taco meat.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, somebody was saying, they were like, oh, he was a minus one, blah, blah. They're just circumstances that don't fucking matter.
What he wasn't was a minus 15, which what Precious would have been.
Right.
He held you down during those minutes that Tyler Herro was fucking up. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Whenever we look at plus minus single game, we have to be really, really wary of how we, you know, of how we really, we have to be,
you should, we have to be cognizant of how,
yeah, you have to have context when it comes to plus minus. You can't just look at plus minus after a game and be like, oh, that guy sucked, this guy was great. I mean, Goran Dragic was a plus 18, and yeah, that makes sense tonight, but you know, a guy like Andre Iguodala only being a plus one when he had a really good game,
right,
it doesn't tell the whole story. You know, you have to have it within context.
I just like the transition from Bam to him.
Yes.
Because he gave
Bam to
he,
who? He,
to Dwayne.
Mr. Deadman.
Mr. Okay. Deadman.
Because he gives you just something different. That's what you like about it. It's like a pitcher that has more than one pitch. You need that.
Yeah, you can't listen. I thought it was great that they had two guys that replicated Bam's skill set, but there were times you needed a change of pace from what Bam brings you. And when it's Bam's skill set watered down by 1,000 in Precious, it's not as effective.
Right.
And see, your second unit can't always match the production that your first unit gives you, but maybe they can give you something different that your first unit you know, that your unit that's, you know, maybe more scouted for, you know, gives you. And I think Dwayne does that to, right. to your point.
Well, guess well,
it's like
what?
A, it's like how about, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, how about the second unit just don't lose the game?
Yeah.
Well, it's like how KZ didn't play great, but he held you down in those mm-hmm. minutes in the beginning of the fourth a little bit, while Arisa and Iggy, you know, right. took their required, you know,
old man
their,
rest.
Yeah, their required yeah. their insure break. You know, they also Dwayne Dedman looks like the guy you, in the neighborhood you have to show your new car to. Like,
you know? you pull it up in your driveway, right? Oh, yeah. He's yeah. standing on his porch.
Yeah,
you, in his like,
Yeah, and, I'm gonna show this new Civic to Mr. Dedman.
And he comes walking across the yard.
He goes, hey, what's that?
In sandals. He's in sandals, right?
In sandals. He goes, hey, what's that?
What's
that's
that?
One of them Japanese cars?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
go
yeah.
Ahead, pop that hood. Go ahead, pop oh, yeah. that hood real quick.
Oh, they last. Oh, that, that's gonna last you.
Look at these tires right here.
That's gonna last you.
It's gonna get you through the winter.
I've been told I should share this. I did not make this, so I'm not taking credit for this shop, but this is pretty damn good. He read it.
Oh, shit. It's it. A terrible Photoshop, but it's terrible. Good.
Yeah,
but
it that's good.
What do you expect from Reddit?
It's terrible, but it's great.
Yeah.
The shock of NBA Twitter when they found out Dwayne Dedman was 31 today was fucking
Yo, that was so funny.
Oh, you mean the shock of everybody stealing our bits?
Yeah, they stole our bit, but whatever. Listen.
I mean, he is immediately shot up to at least number two in my Heat all-time number 21 rankings. only Vashawn Leonard being before.
He's the anti-Hassan.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No,
he really is. Hassan.
He like, is. It's crazy.
He just went out, did his job,
yeah.
didn't mm-hmm. want the fanfare, wasn't like loafing down the court. Like, yep. he literally was just like professional.
He ain't getting by on his looks, let's be real. So, like, he's actually got to play some fucking basketball. And,
he did.
Like, I love what I saw. I love this guy.
Hey.
He did so many common sense, simple things.
Yes.
Just logical.
Yes.
Just
yes.
like,
I'm going to go up and put
process things.
I'm going to put two hands on the rebound. And if I know that sounds wild. And if I get an offensive rebound, I'm 7 feet tall. And Landry Shamet or Bruce Brown is around me. I'm going to go back up with it. And you know yeah. what? I'm going to get to the line 8 times. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to hit my free throws.
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, offensively, just simple passes, not skip passes, you know, across the court right. to a cutter. Like, listen, I understand that's part of the Heat's offense, but every once in a while, just make a simple pass.
Right.
Like, you know, not everything got to be complicated.
But a question, what was he from the floor? What was his number? Was he like 7 for 8 or what was he?
He was 1 for 1 with 10 points. Yes, he was 8 for 8 from the free throw line.
Yes.
So there you go. So those are those little intangibles.
And it shows that it's there. It's possible. We're not just pulling shit out our ass. There are other ways to scrape and get your right. points. And
you played a small team. You played a team that is has a hard time against bigs and a hard time being physical with big guys. And you know what? He took advantage of it. It wasn't fucking rocket science.
Right.
Like, they didn't need to be. They didn't have to have a meeting beforehand about this shit. Dwayne Dedman went out there with a cigarette and sandals and socks on, and some dress socks, and
like a Kyrie, AD.
I want to state again for the record, what they did at the trade deadline was really, honestly, look, so Oladipo, okay, he's hurt. Although he's eating a Joe Stone crab, he might be back. We're not
1,000%.
Later,
but again, you still make that trade every time for Kelly. Mm-hmm. But then, but like Ariza, I love Ariza too.
Love him.
Ariza's great. And honestly, Ariza gives you very, very close to that sort of Jay kind of thing. He's really good from three, man. Like,
very
I feel very confident when he's shooting. And then
a lot of Jay vibes.
Picking
you're
up,
right.
Picking up Dwayne Dedman. It's like, these are really good acquisitions they got. So, I'm very happy with what they did.
It has to all come together. Right. That's what hasn't happened yet.
They fixed that shitty summer.
You hope that Vic can come back. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't think they fixed a shitty summer, Gianni. I think They
leveled it off.
They rebounded. Well, yeah, they leveled it. Right. They got themselves back to.
They course corrected.
Hold on. Wait. Let me frame it this way. With their mid-level exception, that was Avery Bradley and Mo Harkless, they got Trevor Ariza and Bealicia out of that, essentially. Right. So in reality, and then for their Myers-Leonard contract, they got Ariza. Right. So they get with that plus Kelly, they got those guys. And then Dedmon was obviously an acquisition. They couldn't really do more because their cap situation was fucked up. It's not because Goran, if they were going to keep Goran, they didn't have cap space to do anything. So their mid-level exception is really all they had. And that was a disaster. I mean, Mo Harkless and Avery Bradley just were fucking useless negatives.
I mean, disaster is being kind.
Right. They got a guy who can help them at point of attack, which I don't think we even, that was not even like a thought in our mind that the power forward could help with that. I don't think he can do.
I don't know why we use the center there. You said you don't know why the R4 solving or doing some of our point of attack stuff hadn't crossed our mind. We use Bam, who's our center at point of attack.
Which, by the way, today put the clamps on Kyrie, and that's kind of an example of why they switch, right? It's like for that, right? Because they don't have anybody else to defend.
What I will say about the trade deadline, my favorite thing about it is realizing your fuck up. And deciding, okay, not having the hubris to sit here and say, Mo Harkless and Avery Bradley are going to come around. Instead, they said, you know what? Fuck, it ain't work. My bad. I fucked up. It ain't work. Let's fix the shit. So to me, I don't think it fixed the offseason.
I mean, Avery also had COVID like the whole time he was here, I think. Like,
that's true. Avery Bradley hasn't played more than 20 games since the 90s. Right. Like, I didn't know Avery Bradley still played in the NBA until we picked him up.
Is he playing minutes?
I think he played like one game for the Rockets and they put him on a fucking poster. Like, they literally made a phone wallpaper for him. And I was like, "Woo, that's a rough Rocket season."
Shitty garbage. We've been
Kelly Olynyk is like putting up Kareem numbers over there. That's what they have to look forward to.
Nothing.
You know what? Let's get to Siobhan's breakdowns. And cause I do want to talk a little bit about Tyler Hero.
Do we?
We're going to talk about it.
We're having a nice time.
Okay, maybe we won't. But it's always a good time with Siobhan's breakdown, so let's go.
Oh, hold up. Let me break it down so it can forever and consistently be broke.
All right. So... Oh, okay. So I just wanted to start. Okay, pause. So I got one defense and a few offense. The last offensive clip is really short. I wanted to look at their zone a bit because I was talking kind of last game about how zones, largely your rotations are predicated on how you kind of match up to start. And so they could either, there's a bunch of options here. They could either have Duncan take due on the wing. KZ could be dropping to have the guy that he has here. They could, push down. Bam could have his guy in the corner. Like, there's a bunch of different ways that they could kind of morph it. I thought that the way that they started off was interesting because kind of KZ was guarding no one until the dude cut through to the free throw line. So go ahead. So pause, boom. So he looks open, but it's strange. Like, he looks open, but there's so much activity kind of happening around him that Kyrie doesn't go there. He kicks back here. KZ recovers. Go ahead. And then pause. So then Bam steps up and tags him. Bam has to do that. So then that forces Duncan to recognize that he then has to take account for the guy in the corner. If Bam doesn't do that, then there can still kind of be some confusion at the top between, who has them. I was just, kind of looking at the different machinations of the zone and why I think it is effective because they switch it up a good amount. Go ahead. And then KZ recovers. That doesn't work if KZ doesn't recover because Bam was forced to step up and that dump off would have been there had KZ not gotten back.
Right.
Go ahead. What's this? Pause. Oh, okay. Start this one all over again. So we were talking about how, pause right here, how they tend sometimes not to get easy baskets. They have to work or seem to enjoy working the shot clock down, to its bone, right? If you go here and then pause a little bit, go ahead. Pause. Pin and seal. Iggy puts Joe Harris on his back. Kendrick makes a good pass. Iggy is open right here. He doesn't do it. It's fine. He's going to sweep through to the left side. Trevor's going to sweep through to the left side. Go ahead, Brass. Pause. Yeah, cool. Go ahead. My bad. Pause. Boom. I love this right here. We've been lamenting, Jimmy has too clearly, about the lack of aggression in the offense. What I love here was you got Trevor and Iggy, two old dogs who recognize still some dog in each other. Trevor, I think, put Chris Paul's little scrappy self in the post last game. He recognized Iggy put Kyrie's flat earth ass in a post one time, and he gave it to him. Press play. And we got a foul. I don't care who that name is. There's a value in size, and you're going to make that guy foul you, or he's going to get burnt trying to go for the steal. I love that between them two. Go ahead. What was this? Oh, yeah, this was just kind of some motion. That I just like they've gotten a whiff. Oh, I remember what this was. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I like this play a lot. I have to say, go.
So this is, I wanted to talk about kind of the importance of like rotating and filling up. Mm-hmm. So they're getting into here. Pause. If Kendrick doesn't start in the corner and push himself up on this wing, this play doesn't progress because there's no place then for Andre to space out to because the left side is already balanced. You got three people. It's a 3-on-3 happening over there. It's 2-on-2 happening over here. It seems balanced until the ball advances, you know, towards the basket. The basket is what matters most. So at that point, it becomes like another, you know, 3-on-2 situation. But at the point that... at the point that, you know, the ball gets driven, it's attracting so much attention. So go ahead. It's there. Pause. Landry has to come over, which makes Kendrick's dude have to drop down. But that only works if Kendrick creates the space pushing up. And, you know, it does. Go ahead. And then the last one is really quick. I didn't even care about what set it was, what it looked like. I saw Bam Adebayo throw an elbow, and it delighted me.
Yes.
And then he did it again in the same kind of area, and then opened up. I wanted it on the loop. I wanted in my veins.
All day.
Quick. That's it.
But look how fluid. Look how fluid it is.
That's the thing. He doesn't have to think about these things. Boom. It's there for him. Quickly. The things that he needs to think about and work on are his kind of like pivot back to the baseline moves. Sure, let that type of stuff come. This stuff is there for him every time.
That's the benefit of running the floor too as a big. Mm-hmm. When you run the floor, you can get early. Brass, could you put up the second to last clip again? There's something I want to point out about that too that I think is really important for their season.
G's breakdown.
No, it's just kind of because that's actually one of the plays I really like. All right, so they're gonna kind of pause it right there. So Claxton gets on a switch. So they have Dragic on Claxton, and Dragic has been like exceptional at like picking on guys on switches, and that's a pillar of their offense they haven't had. You have Andre and Ariza in the paint. They're gonna kind of let him clear out. You can roll it, and they're gonna pivot into a dribble handoff. Now pause it there. He draws a help. Claxton has to drop. Bam gets behind him. And you know, the play is going to end up. The defense is going to shift. Siobhan pointed out everybody helps. But that's off a dribble handoff, right? I think people always look at their handoffs as Duncan or Tyler flying off of it and shooting. But last season, a big part of their handoffs was this. It was kind of spacing, moving guys around, and getting pressure to the rim. And when you roll it, you're going to see like they're going to get the open three. So that's kind of what I wanted to. I'm not mansplaining Siobhan's brain.
No, he's correct, though. He's correct, though, because the action... Because the action on the wing doesn't matter unless there's something to take attention away from what's happening over there on the other side. As we were talking about, dribble penetration is so important for this team, which is why the Vic acquisition we thought was going to be big.
G said all breakdowns matter.
I felt so bad because I was tweeting about that play.
Siobhan's breakdown if I could hit the third time.
I'm gaslighting. They say I love horns. Everything. I'm misogynistic and kind of racist. Somebody says.
Stop it.
I honestly,
I got canceled on a happy day. Hornsy.
G, you're not canceled. We didn't cancel you.
What I love about that play that both of you guys just talked about is that over and over again, they attack a small team.
Yes.
They create a lot of those. Look at that three. It wasn't created on the perimeter. It was created from inside out. And we have not seen a lot of inside out this year. We've seen a lot of like three-pointers created around the three-point line. Right. And that's, I feel like that's way too easy to guard.
Right. Well, that's why we're like lamenting that we want a semi-healthy Gorn.
Yes.
Because he's, you know, he attacks the basket.
And what you, and if he can't be healthy, you're hoping that that Vic signing gives you that. Because he is a guy, when he's right, does those things that Gorn does at even a higher level at times.
Yeah.
Because what we just saw with Bam, and because Brass pointed out, it was quick. It wasn't deliberate. Not every single play has to be deliberate and laboring. Like, sometimes you just have a mismatch and Landry Shamet is hanging on your back and you just go. You know what I mean? Like, let's stop, you know, stop with the overthinking shit. And, you know, we saw that a lot this game. And I would just hope that this carries over. You know, like it doesn't have to stop tonight.
Like Jimmy said, you're either going to make, miss, or get fouled.
Right.
That's it. That's it. All it's going to happen.
Those are only choices.
Can't much more happen.
Dwayne Dedman said, what the fuck are you talking about? Dribble handoff.
Right. I'm diving to the basket.
I'm 7 feet. I'm under the basket. Why would I pass out?
Why am I using all that?
Call me again, bitch. Right? You know what I do?
You don't keep fouling me? Keep fouling me then.
Mr. Deadman, Mr. Free Throw.
I've been practicing free throws for a year, bitch. I'm rested.
500 before I leave.
Listen, I'll take that 8 for 8 night in and night out. That's 8 extra. That's 8 more points than somebody else gave us.
Precious would have been 1 for 8.
Oh, boy.
Exactly.
Nah, he would have gave you 3 for 8.
And all three of them would have bounced in off the back rim.
Normally, I'd be okay on a guy like Precious, but like where this team is and kind of win now. While we have Jimmy,
he's not ready. That's not Precious's fault. Taker's fault.
He's not ready, and I don't mind. He's not ready because Mr. Deadman is just gonna come in and be steady.
And also, fuck out of here with it. I don't want anyone saying, well, you gave Justice like seasons and Precious.
It's two different teams.
Justice's rookie season was also better than Precious.
But it's also two different teams.
Exactly. It's two different teams, two different seasons, right. Two different expectations.
And Justice was good.
It was a developmental year for a lot of guys.
Justice was getting better. Like, right. I'm not going to harp on Justice.
Where Precious starts a game at the 5 in the playoffs this season,
if it came down to which projects you would be most willing to keep, rank them in order, like 1, 2, 3, 1 being most from Gabe, KZ, and Precious.
Oh, okay.
Precious,
KZ, one you most Gabe. Want to keep. One is the one you most
okay.
want to keep.
Okay, I got you. I'm ready.
Gabe, KZ,
go ahead.
Precious.
Go ahead, Tiff.
I'm going
KZ. Gabe, Precious.
Yikes. Okay. Alf?
What do you mean, yikes?
No. Hold on, Alf.
I would actually say Precious, Gabe, KZ.
Ooh, G?
Precious, KZ, Gabe.
What Brass? The hell? Okay, Brass.
Wait, are we going 3-2-1 or 1-2-3?
1-2-3. 1 is the most.
Gee, okay, one is the most.
I want to keep Precious the most, KZ the second most, Gabe the least.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say it's kind of a tie between Gabe and I'm sorry, between KZ and Precious, because I look at what they gave up to be able to get KZ, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I still think like. Yeah, I'm kind of like 1A, 1B, and then Gabe is
so.
I know that's a cop out, but fuck it.
Go ahead, Alf, and then I want to just say something before you hit.
No, I said Precious, KZ, Gabe.
Okay,
I think that's what I said. That was a long time ago.
Right, long time ago. See, for me, I like to laugh and joke about it, but I don't want two Bams. Like, I don't want two Bams.
I understand that.
I like having a traditional guy just come in and just wreck havoc under the basket. That's it.
Yeah.
I like two different schemes. I like two different looks. And I like teams coming at you in waves.
For me, I say I have KZ, Gabe, Precious.
Damn, that's what I said.
I actually have a question for G.
Mm-hmm.
I understand this player I'm going to mention is hurt right now.
Mm-mm.
But Gianni, Which player would you rather have on this team? Which Tyler would you rather have on this team? Tyler Hero or Tyler Johnson?
That's actually a really good question.
That is such a better question than I thought it would be when I first heard it. Then I thought about it. I thought it was like Tyler's a dog.
It's taking you a long time, G.
Because they give you different things. I think I go Hero, but I think that Tyler Johnson would be... I think I trust Hero to break out of a funk. I think Tyler Johnson would be awesome on this team. He has really good hands. He's a really good defender. He has vertical spacing, and he loves having guards screen and roll. So he would be really effective in that. I think haven't looked at the shooting numbers this season, but he's a decent spot up shooter. So honestly, he would fit in really, really nice here. I didn't like him here because he didn't play with good players, and he needs good players to make him look good.
And he got paid a shit ton of money, right?
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, the contract was the worst contract Riley's ever given. How did it get us Jimmy?
Well, because then Wade left.
Right.
And went to Chicago and hooked up with Jeff. Yeah. I mean, come on.
He's
talking about the whole long chain.
Yeah.
But I feel like right now, like, I mean, and I say right now because like Tyler Johnson's hurt. So I think, is he out for the season, right? I think he's out for the season. So, I mean, yeah, I guess that's a little unfair, but like, I don't know.
I feel like he was
shooting 38% from three before he went down.
Give me Bumpy. And what they call Bumpy Johnson? Why did
you
call him that?
Because he has an acne problem.
The acne. That's why.
Y'all are assholes. I did not know that.
That was Nicey Twitter that did that.
Yeah, I know. It was gross.
Alf and I called them pimples, and then everyone's like, they just called them Bumpy. And I'm like, I guess we're being nicer.
Y'all be reaping all that karma y'all put in that other people.
I want to recircle real quick.
We're mean spirited.
You are mean spirited.
Y'all got to get that together.
I want to just circle back real quick to the whole to Tyler Hero. Because there's slumps, then there's not slumps. Yeah. And then there's Jess out there. So what's happening?
Christian, get your favorite stats in the chat, man. Come on.
I think he's in a slump. One of the things that I did notice, he was huffing and puffing 2 minutes into the fourth quarter. Like he could not get his air. Like he was struggling. Does that excuse all the times like he dies on screens or just like stands around and looks at, you know, or, you know, just passes the ball to nobody or just takes ill-advised shots? It doesn't excuse everything. But I will say, I don't think physically he's right.
It could be COVID. He had COVID, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's ever been confirmed. But the way he
was out with health and safety.
Yeah, the way he out
has been as confirmed as Vic being at Joe Stonecrab. I think it's the same level of reporting, but
it was in these streets mentioned it out in these streets. I mean, because that could also be just like a byproduct of, you know, having health complications because of that. Like, I mean, Alf, you know as well as I do, if you got asthma and any little cold or anything hits you, you in trouble.
But here's my thing. And once again, this is where I start getting annoyed, and I'm not on the fire spo tip, but if Tyler ain't right, he ain't giving you nothing.
Right.
All game, he's giving you nothing. He's hurt you. Kendrick Nunn played a fantastic game, right? And you know nobody bags on Nunn more than I have. But if Tyler's playing poorly, Kendrick Nunn's playing well, why is Tyler getting all the fourth quarter minutes? And then eventually you saw what they did. They pulled his ass.
Yeah, they took him out.
And they were down, I think, six when they pulled him in the fourth quarter.
On the broadcast, they were talking about Kendrick's having, you know, Kendrick's struggles with having dealt with COVID.
Yep.
And so to your point, Alf, right, like did or did not, you know, Spo allow Kendrick to kind of play through some of that? You know, I think, you know, maybe there were stretches earlier on in the season where we were questioning why he may have been getting the minutes that he did, but we've seen him, you know, kind of round back into form. Maybe, you know, Spo has had those conversations with Tyler and he feels he needs to, you know, play to kind of get back. I think, you know, we don't know what's really happening in that locker room. You know, I haven't had COVID and had to go play an NBA basketball game. Jason Tatum is still, you know, using an inhaler when he never did. So if Tyler really did have it, you know, we really, really don't know what, you know, effect that could have had. But to your point, you know, what is he giving you that someone like to who I think Christian or Hero said it here, that Struce couldn't have given you? Like, if we're, right, you know, still in this point of trying stuff and tinkering here, tinkering right there, you know, that's a point to kind of tinker with. Maybe he didn't feel he could tinker with KZ and Struce right in the same game. We don't know, but I mean, I think there's a couple different arguments or facets to that argument.
This person said, someone tells me Hero got cocky from the bubble he ain't putting in.
Oh, I fully believe that.
No, no.
I tweeted out earlier, I really desperately need the Heat store to take off the snarl.
Right.
And I retweeted right because and, I agree.
I agree.
Like, because I feel like that stupid kind of thing is like the one thing to yep like get, put him on blast
right
yep
and make him notice and like get good at basketball again. Because like Tyler Hero, he's a fine yeah basketball player. Yeah. Like I think Tyler Hero is going to have an okay career. That's not, I'm not saying Tyler team sucks.
Then but that I'm cereal saying, like,
I legitimately don't think he's good enough to have his own fucking t-shirt.
That's you know why. You know why.
Oh.
You know why.
Right.
You know
right
why.
Why does that?
He has his own song, and by the same reason that the person
Brass,
that,
yeah, you know what they're trying know to say.
Yeah, Brass. Jack Harlow, really. Honestly, Jack Harlow fucked us. Anyway, what?
He is no, what? Tim, they what have gone out no, of their no way COVID to market aside him. Like, let's what have a real moment about our community in South Florida, particularly Miami, about how, you know, people view Black people and how whiteness here is celebrated, even though people like myself are white Hispanics, and how colorism is like it's very much a thing in our Hispanic communities, and how white people and the American standard is something that is propagated and believed in and people here worship because all of our parents and grandparents. The podcast listeners don't know that Brass just put up the LSO podcast logo.
Brought to you by LSO.
I didn't.
A white man is marketed to this community because it will make money, and they put his ass on yeah t-shirts, and he does all this stuff because he's a cool white kid, right? He's not like a yeah dweeby white guy like Duncan. He's cool, right? He has the drip and all that, and there's an appropriation of hip-hop and all that stuff that I'm not gonna get into. LSO has in the past, but I mean, there's a very real reason why his dumbass snarl is on a t-shirt, and it's right why that he has not been as good a player as he should be, that has been elevated to the standard, and I think that matters, and we have to, as a community, right, as Hispanic men and women and people, we need to have like an honest conversation about why a person like him is marketed more than Bam. It's ridiculous, and there's a reason.
G-Saka.
Brad sent me with the LSO love thing.
That was funny. Alf. I would love for Gianni to spell Farrakhan.
Oh no way! Don't make me.
That'd be so good.
I can barely spell Tyler Hero. You're gonna ask me to spell Farrakhan.
With all that being said, the marketing, everything, and let's put the COVID protocols to the side because we don't know what's what. Okay. Fact of the matter is, dude just don't look good right now.
No.
We can't hear you.
We can't hear you out.
We can't hear you.
My bad.
Okay.
I also don't think Spoke gives a fuck about.
Oh no! Yeah, yeah.
His right cereal. So that don't make right that doesn't line up for me. And I do agree with a lot of what you said, and we can cover that on another episode, a special episode of Hangover Time, our race talk episode,
the race round table.
Yeah, you know. with the Charles Barkley, we're gonna have a conversation.
We're gonna have a dialogue.
But I don't think Spo cares about that shit, so I don't get it.
He does, and so it's gone to his head, and so he has right to put in the effort and the work to
but
be.
But why does Spo continue to try? I mean, he's played right, the most yes fourth quarter minutes, and honestly, let's also be honest that this drought has only been over the last couple, 2-3 weeks. He's not been great all season.
Right.
But he hasn't been this bad. Right.
You know, because it's magnified now because there's like 17 games left.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's a difference between like, I look bad for a couple of nights, but it's like, we can't afford for you to look bad for a couple of nights. Like you gotta, you know, it's like whatever the problem is, they got to figure it out because maybe also it's just kind of like,
truth be told, his defense is terrible. He shouldn't be playing in crunch time. So it is what it is. Like, guess who was on the floor? Gorn was on the floor during crunch time. That tells you something. Like, we trust Gorn, who's got like 1,000 miles on his old ass knees, over you, who should be young, fresh, and able to move laterally.
Well, right. And when is the last time Gorn had a game like this?
Yeah,
Orlando. Gorn,
yeah. Gorn's been worse than Tyler Chicago. Lately.
Chicago. No, he has been. That's what I'm
saying. It was the Chicago game.
So, to me, I'd say you ride the hot hand. Nunn didn't get a single fourth quarter minute, and he was third on your team in scoring. Yeah.
Can I say something about that though? I don't disagree with keeping him on the bench. I think he was shooting the ball well, but I think at the end of the game when the Nets were switching a lot, you want the extra ball handling, and Nunn had a shaky handle. Not that Tyler has a tighter handle than him recently, but I understood why they went with the extra ball handling. Spo historically always goes with the extra ball handling, and they were even going like three guards. Like, I don't blame him for that decision. I understand how you feel. It's funny, especially after my rant, but I get why they did that. And he's a better pick and roll partner for Bam than Kendrick. Just decision making out of white boy. Tyler.
Chad is saying we're not talking about Bam enough.
I called out Jack on that. Jack put that shit in here.
Oh, okay.
We talked about Bam for 25 minutes. Well, yeah, we've been talking about him here for five.
Thanks for listening, Jack.
I was criticizing him in the second quarter, and I'm like, they need him to be a better scorer. And Jack's like, yeah, you're wrong. He's perfect.
Okay. I feel there's something there's a disconnect that people are having.
Yes.
We are not talking shit about Bam because we don't think Bam is good. We're talking shit about Bam because Bam is fucking good.
Thank you. Preach.
There's a difference.
I don't really understand why this is so difficult for people to understand.
Brass, say it with your button down.
We're not mad. Come on. I get shit for the button down every fucking time.
Collar.
Polo.
You look good in the button polo. Down.
Anyway, yes. Like, yes. Bam is really fucking good. We have known this for years. Bam is so good. And we're never really mad at Bam. We're disappointed.
Right.
And we're like, come on, man.
Which is worse.
It's worse. Like, this is fucking
Bam. Bam fucks. Bam is great. Bam is awesome. Bam is fucking... He has the ability to do this. He should be elbowing guys every fucking game. Yeah. And he doesn't do it. Like, that's the kind of thing. It's like, he needs to go that extra mile. But he's got the tools, man. I mean, obviously, height is a little bit... You know, that's a little bit of the thing we're talking about. But, like, still.
So
like,
then that's fucking, when you use the others.
He's super strong, athletic. He's super strong.
Athletic and he's fast. That's like when we heard that Blake Griffin was starting at center, we're like, fucking barbecue chicken.
Yes.
Right. And, but did you see what he did to my man Jeff Green? This is kind of that Jeff Green is almost the same height as Bam, but you know what Bam is? He's quicker, stronger, faster.
Younger.
He put his let's play that. Let's play it again. Younger. He put his shoulder into Jeff Green, moved him about 3 feet, and said,
that's hey.
Yes, and he got swole it. On it. And I'm gonna it's tell y'all there. Something. Let me just take it back real quick because y'all was talking about white boy with drip and blah blah blah. Siobhan, what did I tell you in the chat? Who got more down low swagger?
Oh, first Duncan. Of all, Duncan is a way swaggier white boy
Duncan.
Than Tyler.
If y'all they say
you can say, out of TIFF. I'm
if
with
they it. Say you could say one white dude on this Titanic.
I mean, Duncan.
Yeah, Duncan doesn't have as many accessories.
He don't
need them.
He don't need them.
No, he doesn't need them.
He doesn't need them.
Man, listen, I'm going to tell you.
Go ahead.
As someone who's coached AAU ball, okay, I've interviewed Duncan Robinson, and I'm, name drop. But I've interviewed Duncan Robinson a few times, and that motherfucker, you could tell that dude's been around the AAU circuit for a little minute. Like the way, I mean, just the whole cock your head back before you answer. Like, I was like, ooh, dude, this dude been around some brothers. Like, he around some Dwayne Dedmans in his day.
Even to this team's progression, I think it was I Can Be Your Hero. He put up the lineup of, what was it? Jimmy Duncan, Trevor Bam, and I forget the third.
Vic comes back.
If Vic come back,
that's the closing line.
That's the starters. That's the closers.
But I want to talk about Duncan. The only reason that lineup works is because Duncan has so much so much so improved himself. And so I really, really don't want to miss the boat on just his positional defense, what him working on that has done for the offense in late game situations, because he allows himself to stay on the floor longer so we can run other stuff. We're not worried as much about him being a liability or as much of a liability. I really, really appreciate what the effort that I feel Duncan has put into the season in the Duncan areas where good. We feel Tyler has not, for me.
Honestly, to me, I don't understand why Tyler should get any more fourth quarter minutes than Duncan. Sometimes I think what happens is by the time the fourth quarter comes around, Duncan's already played 35 minutes.
Or got like that fouls.
And has like 19 fouls. But if he's in low, if he's not in foul trouble and his minutes are under, you know, in the low 30s, he should close, in my opinion, hands down. Over, and that's over Goron, that's over Tyler, that's over Nunn, that's over everybody. I think Duncan, like his presence out there, they couldn't leave Duncan to go double Bam on that last play. Nope. You saw what side Bam went to, right?
Yep.
He went to the side Duncan was on, because if you leave Duncan, Bam is going to do the LeBron pass out of the game winning shot to the shooter. Yep. And now you have a corner three from Duncan Robinson. Yeah, try that one out for
some. If you were to talk about Tyler, you said there's slumps, there's not slumps, and then there's just not it. I'm comfortable in saying that, you know, a lot of the stress that we saw from lack of productivity from Duncan, that was a slump. Shooters are going to go through slumps.
Right, that's a slump.
You get schemed for, and then so there's also an adjustment period where you do have to figure out how to tailor your game.
Yep.
Figuring out that there's something differently that you need to do is not always going to translate, and you doing that thing differently the very next game. Right. And so I think that's where a lot of our frustration was with him. And so he put in that work. He had a slump. He's put in the work to counter some of the things that people are doing now. I'm so happy.
Even if Tyler is going through an offensive slump, he's still going to be fine on defense. Tyler is not.
Right. No, you meant Duncan.
Yeah. Duncan.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Even if Duncan isn't, he's still going to give you an okay, an acceptable amount of defense for this team. Right, Tyler, if he's not shooting, he ain't doing shit on the other side of the floor.
I want to say something real quick about Duncan, because I think I don't think he had the most impactful offensive game in terms of scoring. He was 3-for-8, 37%. That's mostly fine. But now I'm here. It's just my USB cable's faulty. I got to change it. I thought his passing when the USB. Second man, I can't. The passing when the second man in the pick and roll or in the handoff stepped up, I thought he was anticipating it. He was getting rid of the ball early. And after he got rid of the ball, he was immediately moving. He wasn't staying stationary. He was very active. He was cutting. Even if he wasn't always getting the ball and if the guys weren't finding him, he was always moving. He always I thought he was really good today, despite him not having the most impactful or active kind of scoring game. Cause I mean, there are days that he's shooting, he's getting 16 points or whatever. I thought he was awesome today. And I thought he was a huge reason why the offense was good. They were double teaming him. He was getting rid of the ball early. He was anticipating. He was just doing everything that you want a guy like him to do. He's not going to break you down off the dribble. He doesn't have that, but he did everything else in his power to help his teammates get good looks. And honestly, that's such an improvement from last season and even earlier this season that you love it. I'm really happy for him as a professional. He's great. Why are you giving me thumbs up?
Someone said Tyler Hero been trash. Y'all just now realizing that's bullshit.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
He's not trash, though. But why do we have to have
him? He's not trash.
Yeah.
He's not trash. And I want him to do better. But come on, man.
And we've been saying he's not it. What are you talking about? He's not trash, but he's not it either. Right.
He's a small second year guard. He's going to struggle.
Right. But he's also just not who, honestly, I think they thought he was going to be at this point. And it's okay to admit it.
Listen, go listen to my 5-minute rant from last game. I spelled out pretty much our entire theory on Tyler Hero. It ain't his fault.
Right. MacMon 857 said, I watch other teams' YouTube pregames and Duncan is on their scouting reporting.
Yes.
Not Tyler. I agree. Do you know why? Tyler's not that good.
And it's okay.
It's very simple.
I like it.
Look at the playoffs. Everything about every team was horrified of Duncan. Every scheme, the Bucks, the Lakers, the Celtics, their entire defensive game plan revolved around
What are we doing with this guy when he comes off a handoff? Everything else fell into place, but that was the one thing that was the focus. And he got all the best wing defenders to chase his little ass around the entire court, which let Jimmy and Bam and Goran do whatever they wanted on offense.
And you know what makes that more...
Go ahead.
Sorry. I'm sorry, G. I'm out of that. You know what makes that more important or more potent now? If Bam can continue this level of aggression. Duncan doing all that flying, all that other stuff, and Bam can continue to make himself a threat toward the rim offensively. It just opens up and helps so many other things like Duncan and Tyler to that extent with what the offense does.
A lot of people when they move like that and they don't get the ball, they stop moving. Duncan's not like that. He's always going to do it. And he knows that the ball will find my energy. I am in motion. The ball will eventually come. Even if I'm running six dummy sets in a row, I'm going to get it the seventh time because it's going to find me.
Yeah.
He genuinely believes in that.
All right. So we're at an hour now. We've discussed, I think, the finer points of the game. So we want to get into one of our favorite segments here. Brass has a couple new ones. We are casting the Miami Heat movie. So Brass, I know you got a couple. Let's go. Let's see what you got for us.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Just do the last couple.
I'm only doing two today.
Brass is on a time limit.
So we have someone recommended this. We have Jay Farrell as Chris Bosh.
Whoa.
That is good. He can do all the faces.
Which is really good. I think, I mean, imagine Jay Farrell doing like the photo bombs and shit.
I mean, honestly, I love that one. Siobhan doesn't like it, I see.
No, I enjoy that one.
Okay, either him or the raptor from Jurassic Park, but go ahead.
Okay, and then this one for Wayne Ellington. I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. We have Chiwetel Ejiofor. Is that did I get that good?
Yes.
You were close.
Okay.
Yes.
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 I want to know why Wayne Ellington. I want to know why Wayne Ellington's in the movie, but
well, I think Wayne Ellington is in the movie for all the team for like when he was on the Nets when he was a random scrub Heat killer.
Oh, okay, okay.
Right. So I not so Wayne much for his back. Heat production. Although, listen, I mean, I as a 3-point shooter on the Heat.
Right. He's handsome.
Wayne Ellington was fantastic. And he's also handsome. Cheap. And also one of my favorite guys when I was in a couple times when I was in the locker room. He was great. Wayne is great. I love
such a
Wayne.
Nice guy, man.
Such a nice guy. I love Wayne Ellington. So anyway.
But honestly, so was Myers Leonard. I was giving you that hard out, bro.
That was, yeah,
that literally should have been the hard out.
The fuck else I'm supposed to say after?
it's hard for me to get that right.
What do you want us to say now?
I was looking for it, and then you called it out. And
okay, let me do it one more time. Talk about Wayne Ellington real quick.
Absolutely. Wayne Ellington was honestly one of my favorite guys to interview on the team the couple times over the locker room. He's such a nice guy.
Yeah, such a nice guy. So was Myers Leonard.